Welcome to our Mother's Day service. Increasingly over the last few years, our Mother's Day services have been the number two largest attended service of the entire year, second only to Easter. And so it's a lot different doing Mother's Day online, but we normally have a rose for all of our ladies. Not just the mamas, but all of the girls. So can't give you a rose physically today, but we want to give you a rose spiritually. And I hope this service will be a great blessing to you. Billy's got a great Sunday school lesson prepared for you. Andrew's done a great job with the music. I think you'll be blessed by that. And let's just pray and ask the Lord to come and sit down amongst us one more time. I'll give some announcements at the end of the service about next Sunday. But we're looking at an in-person gathering on the 17th. But let's pray. We want God to just do a work here in this Mother's Day message and worship service. Father, thank you again for bringing us together one more time. I don't know how much longer your coming is going to be, but Lord, until you come, help us to be looking for that blessed hope and the appearance of the glory. Knowing that you're coming, Lord, gives us the impetus and the strength and the courage that we need to live our lives for your glory during these days of isolation. And it seems as if, Lord, some of these things are lifting. But I pray right now this morning that we might sense your spirit, that we might sense your presence, God, that we would know that your manifest spirit is with us through this entire service, whether we're in a car or whether we're in a hearing it later or whether we're in our homes on Sunday morning, just wherever we are, Lord, that you would use it for your glory and honor. I thank you so much for our media team and our worship team and our discipleship team pulling all this together today. And most of all, we want to give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right. It's Mother's Day, 2020. And I have been celebrating Mother's Day for a long, long time. My mother, Barbara Hampton, became a mother in 1956. Yours truly came into the world. And then Mom gave birth four more times to my four sisters. And then I was married and to a sweet lady by the name of Diana Hampton in 1983, and Diana became a mom in 1985 with Brittany, and then again a mom to another daughter, Paige, and both of those girls have been a great blessing to me. I couldn't have two better daughters, and I might say got two great son-in-laws and some grandkids and all of that, but I was really blessed in 2006. God had honored me and my wife and our prayers over the years for a son. God gave us a son. Diana became a mother again in 2006 at the age of 45. I was 49. And so I love celebrating motherhood. And it's 2020. I can't believe that we have already moved into another decade in the 21st century. But we want to lift up mothers today and womanhood. And you may be, I just think our moms are a gift from heaven. They really are. They're a supernatural gift from the Lord. We all love our moms. there was a mother a few years ago with three notorious children. They were known for acting up and acting out. And somebody asked her, she said, the lady asked this mom of these three wild kids, said, if you had to do over again, would you still be a mother? And she didn't even miss a beat. She said, oh, yes, absolutely. Just three different ones. But we love our mamas, don't we? We want to celebrate their life today. And you may be like the little boy who was so proud of his mama. He was bragging on her, and this has been several years ago, but he looked at her and he said, Mama, when I get old enough, I'm going to buy you an electric stove. and an electric toaster and an electric can opener and an electric chair. That'll sink in just a minute. But you may be feeling that way as a child. Hopefully not. But you know, all kidding aside, more than likely, the person who's probably had one of the greatest or the greatest influence and impact in your life is your mom. They once asked Abraham Lincoln what was the best book he'd ever read, and he didn't miss a beat either. He said, my mother. We are blessed. Many of you would respond in that way. In Luke chapter 1, we've got the story of a most unusual family. Every family member was filled by the Holy Spirit of God. The husband and father, Zacharias, he was a spirit-filled man. The mother, Elizabeth, was filled by the Holy Spirit of God. And even their son, John the Baptist, was filled by the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to focus on this woman of this family, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a powerful portrait of a spirit-filled wife and mother. Every lady would do well to follow her example. let's look at it. Let's read it together. I'll start there at verse 39 in Luke chapter 1. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now listen to what she says to Mary. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And may God add his blessing this morning to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of his holy word today. Elizabeth is an example of a spirit-filled woman in a spirit-filled family, and I think we all need to follow that example. And you know, when I think about motherhood and I think about womanhood today, things have changed dramatically for you ladies, and I get that. probably since the 60s, maybe even before that, things began. There's so much pressure on a woman today. They are pressured like never before to be a traditional stay-at-home mom, and yet they're under a lot of pressure to be a career woman, the pull to be a sexy, seductive companion for their spouse is always present. That's what our society promotes. The vast majority of women now work outside the home, and yet they still got the responsibilities at home. And they got responsibilities at work, and they only have the same number of hours to get it all done as they had before, right? And so I'm of the opinion that a lot of women, a lot of ladies today feel underappreciated for who they are and all they do. And I have come here today to tell you ladies, listen to me now. Jesus lifted up womanhood. Jesus loved ladies, exalted women, and gave them a lot of press and a lot of praise. That's why Jesus had so many women disciples and women followers that used to follow him. And girls, let me just say this before we get going real good this morning. You may not get your honors and reward down here, but you'll get them from Jesus when you get there. So you just stay with the stuff. And let's look at this spirit-filled woman, Elizabeth, in Luke's gospel this morning. Let's look at Elizabeth's salvation. This was a saved woman. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, jump all the way back to verse 5 in Luke chapter 1. Let's look at Elizabeth's salvation. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now listen to this. This is key. And they were both righteous before God. In other words, the husband and the wife of this family were both godly people. They were God's children, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Let me unpack that for us real quickly. Zechariah and Elizabeth had both had the experience of what we would today call salvation. Elizabeth was a saved woman. How do we know that? The word righteous points to that inward experience of salvation. She came to know God in a personal, intimate way. Now, some would look at all these things about being obedient to the commandments and da 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 and all these good things as works. But you see, what our works do is they point to our saving faith. Your behavior says what you really do believe. Are y'all with me? And the Bible calls her righteous. And ladies, we would do well to follow that important example and get that relationship right with the Lord. And I want to say this as well. Ladies, the most important relationship that you can have in this life is not with your husband. It's not with your children. It's not with your friends. It's not with your boyfriend. It's with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to plead with you to surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Get that relationship. And when you get that relationship right, everything else will begin to fall into place. How do you know? Well, my youngest daughter, Paige, for Father's Day 2 years ago, got me one of these Billy Reed sweaters. She used to work for one of the top clothing designers in the nation. And she bought me this really cool GQ looking sweater. And I really loved it because it was practical and it was warm and it was, you know, soft. And I really liked it. So I wore that sweater last Christmas to our pastor's Christmas party over here at Freedom Point. And so I'm walking in with my nice sweater and my red shirt underneath that, you know, to this pastor's Christmas party. And my brother from another mother, Derek Smith from Living Hope Baptist Church, is on the other side of the room. He saw Diana and I come in, and he saw me in that sweater, and he said, "Hello, Mr. Rogers." And to make a long story short, when I put that sweater on earlier, just before I came in, I had buttoned it up only to find out that the last button didn't have a buttonhole. In other words, I'd messed up on top. And so I undid all the buttons and then got the top button right in the top button. And everything else, all the other buttons got right. When I got to the bottom, everything fell into place. That is exactly what will happen with your relationships if you'll get that relationship right first and foremost today. Don't wait any longer. Get that relationship right with the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 6, I've got to unpack this. Verse 6 tells us that Elizabeth was blameless. That does not mean that she was sinless. Okay? She was a human being, so we know that she was a sinner. But her heart was set on righteousness and godliness. Her heart was coated with integrity. Her lips flowed with honesty. Her life was marked by fidelity. I mean, this was a godly, righteous woman. And her works pointed to her saving faith. She was on the inside what she claimed to be on the outside. And that's what true salvation does. Her intimate, her most important relationship was with the Lord God. She was in a right relationship. And she was obeying the commands of the Lord, and her authority was God. Salvation, you know, brings us into this terrible word today in feminine circles, submission. James 4:7 says we're to submit, first of all, ourselves to God. And then in the great marriage passage in Ephesians chapter 5, Well, in the beginning, right up in the later verses of verse 4, it even says we're supposed to submit to one another. Huh? There are times when I submit to Diane's leadership. Hey, guys, she can see things I can't see. She's got radar. She's thinking out of both sides of her brain. And so when God becomes your authority, submission's not a problem. It's not an issue. But, see, in a family setting, God has different functions for everybody. Everybody's equal before God, but the husband is to be the head of the family and the woman is to be the heart of the family. Ooh, that's good. Let me say that one more time. The husband is to be the spiritual head of that family, and we know you ladies are going to be the spirit-filled heart of the family. And so I want you to see the example of salvation in Elizabeth and follow that example and become a spirit-filled woman of God. Be righteous and blameless. And then, like all of us have, all of us do, most of us have some great big burden in our life, some deep sorrow. And I want you to see Elizabeth's sorrow. Just because you're a child of God doesn't exempt us from tough times. We all have a cross to bear. We all have a burden. And here's hers, verse 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Elizabeth's heart was broken for many years. She's older now, and she had no children. And for a Jewish woman, this was considered to be a curse. Look at verse 24 and 25. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when I looked on me, when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." You see, everybody looked down on a childless Jewish woman. As a matter of fact, probably just in my mind's way of thinking, a lot of those women were probably hoping and praying they'd be the mother of the Messiah when he came along. And Elizabeth's no different from any other ladies. A lot of people struggling. A lot of ladies are heartbroken. Some have personal burdens that they're shouldering. I've talked to a lot of our women and ladies here lately, and I want to tell you, we live in a society today that degrades women. They're nothing more than playthings or sex objects on television. Spousal abuse. Did y'all know this? Is at an all-time high. By the time a woman has lived her life, at some point in time in her life, 35, almost 36% of every woman has either been raped, sexually abused, or beaten up physically by a man or someone else. By their spouse or partner, whatever that word means. So women today are having a tough, tough time. Ladies, let me just say this. I'm too blunt sometimes, I know that. But when you are looking and praying about a husband, let me tell you right now who the kind of man is that you need to marry. It is a spirit-filled man, a man who is surrendered to Christ Jesus, who loves Jesus, who not just says he loves Jesus, but he's walking with Jesus. Find you a man like that. And by the way, Genesis 2:24 says that God brought the woman to the man. When the time is right, if you're prayed up and you're spirit-filled, God's going to bring you a spirit-filled man. That's who makes the best husband. It's not always this all-star athlete or this brilliant businessman or this wealthy CEO or this charismatic personality or this knockout, drop-dead, gorgeous hunk of flesh. It's a man who loves Jesus with all of his heart. That's the kind of husband that you need, somebody who's sold out to Jesus Christ. Isn't that some good preaching? Some of you guys say amen. Y'all got a plug today. Now, Elizabeth, her sorrow, let's return to that. She had a good husband, but no children. So what did she do about that? Look at verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Verse 13 reveals that this couple had been praying for years about a son. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers just right off the bat. We're on His timetable. We're on His schedule, not ours. God had to get another family ready for a baby, Mary and Joseph, also during these days. And so, did you catch what happened up there when Elizabeth conceived and got pregnant after all those years? Did you check that out in verse 24? Let me read it again. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Watch this, ladies. "Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'The Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" You know what Elizabeth did for 5 months? She worked on her devotional life. She got closer to the Lord. She worked on her spiritual life. She deepened her walk with the Lord for 5 months. You know, you women, you ladies have a great propensity and capacity for the deeper things of God. And I want to submit to you, especially you moms out there, you do what Elizabeth did. Deepen your spiritual walk with the Lord. And that's what really led women to Jesus. The women were the last to leave the cross and the first to show up at the empty tomb. I've learned so much in my life from godly women. Man, my mama poured Jesus into me and my 4 sisters. Diana and I both had the privilege of leading our 2 daughters to the Lord. But my son, on a Wednesday night, a dear lady by the name of Stephanie Pearson had a devotional in the kids' choir time. And on the way home from church that night, Isaac was telling his mom, he said, "Mom, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me." And so she unpacked that decision with him. And when I got home, they were just aglow, both of them. And they told me what Isaac had done. And then on March the 6th, he came forward a week later and said, "Dad, don't you think it's time we told the church that I've been saved?" You know, out of the mouths of babes. And I'll never forget that. And then on my mama's birthday, July the 31st, we celebrated her birthday by baptizing Isaac August the 1st. That was on a Sunday. And 2 tremendous days in my life. And I'm so thankful that I've got a godly wife who believes and prayed for her children to be saved. And now my wife is praying for my daughters, my granddaughters, my granddaughter, my grandson to be saved. She wants her grandchildren to be born again. And so, girls, deepen your relationship with Christ. Hang in. Have that time alone with the Lord every day. Do that. I'm so thankful for these Spirit-filled women who have poured into my life over the years. And by the way, let me say this. Can I just say this? Some of you ladies out there are hurting because you don't have any children. I get that. When the time's right, God will provide a child for you. If that's what you're praying about. I believe that with all my heart. There was a couple in my last church, and she was having trouble getting pregnant, and so they decided through this long process of going to Russia to adopt a kid. I told you about that. And about the time they adopted Jake, well, the wife winds up pregnant, and they have a natural born son too. And so, but today, even if you never can get pregnant, you can become a foster mom, and you can adopt a child. There's tons of services out there, and you can adopt a child and pour in, or you can join a spiritual team called MOPS in our city. Barbara Nelson heads up the MOPS program out at Fort Campbell, Mothers of Preschool Children. And you can be a mom in a real sense in every set of every way. You just keep praying. I know if you want a child, God will give you one to minister to. But in the meantime, do like Elizabeth and deepen your relationship with God. Isn't that a good word? And so that's what she did with her sorrow. She turned it into supplication. And last thing we need to say is about Elizabeth's security. Look at verse 37. This is a good word for us. For with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. Elizabeth believed, I think she believed that with all of her heart, or else why would she keep praying at such a late age? She believed that God could give her a son, and she believed that God would comfort her and relieve her of that burden, and would fulfill His will in her life. She believed that with all of her heart. Now, I want us to see this again. Let me start there at verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. In order to get Mary and Joseph out of Nazareth with all the wagging tongues, Elizabeth was in her third trimester, in her sixth month. And so what God did was get Mary out of Nazareth. And when she shows up, and they're cousins. Now, how do you know they're cousins? Well, here's just some tidbit for you. Mary was from the tribe of Judah. Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi. Levi and Judah were brothers, full-blood brothers. And so they're cousins. Now, granted, several generations, but they're cousins. And so cousin Mary shows up pregnant with the Lord Jesus and shows up at Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth hears the greeting from Mary, listen to what happens, verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, her babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She begins to prophesy here over Mary. "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Man, she's got great faith, doesn't she? She knows who Mary is pregnant with. "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And then she prophesies again and gives praise. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her to Mary from the Lord." And so she believed that nothing was impossible with God. Mary believed that as well. And Elizabeth believed that God was her source of strength, her safety, and all of her security was in the Lord. Ladies, you may be here today. Some of you have lost a husband. Some of you ladies have been through a divorce, and you've lost a husband that way. Maybe you've got a wayward child, or maybe you've got a really tough boss or a tough job, or maybe you've just lost your job. I've come here today to tell you, you can count on Jesus. He will take care of you. God gave Elizabeth a boy by the name of John, who became John the Baptist, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets that ever lived. He prepared the way of the Lord. Jesus said about John, "Out of those born of women, there's none greater than John." I mean, what a powerful answer to prayer that God gave to Elizabeth for that son. She had a boy, and I've come here today to tell you, God will give you what you need. He's the God who is able to do more, exceedingly more, abundantly more, above all that you can even ask or think, according to the power that already resides and works within you. So you just keep praying and you just keep talking to the Lord. You keep deepening that walk with Jesus and He will meet your needs. He's your security. Your security is not in your husband. Your security is not in your bank account. Your security is not in your kids. Your security lies in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Back a few years ago, it's been about 10 years ago, I was really burdened to begin some men's ministry and do some men's conferences down in Wayne County. And so we began hosting, and I had a burden to spread that men's ministry through the southern counties of Tennessee. And so we hosted two men's meetings, or actually three, at Green River down in Waynesboro. Billy Walker came to one of those. That's where he met Dr. James Merritt, one of our friends in the ministry. And then we hosted two over at Morris Hill Baptist Church, east of us in Lawrence County. And then we hosted two conferences over in Hardin County at Hopewell Baptist Church. And the last conference over there, I'll never forget it. One of our speakers that weekend was a retired former professional football player by the name of Haywood Jeffries. Big, strapping, 6'5", just a great wide receiver for the Houston Oilers, who now happens to be the team, the Tennessee Titans. Connection, all right? And Haywood got up and began to share about his mom and the influence and the impact that she had in his life and the support that she was growing up. And sadly, just before the NFL draft, when Haywood was drafted by the Houston Oilers, his mom died of a terminal illness. And with tears streaming down his face, he began to tell us in his last college football game, as he was running out on the field, he had gotten tickets for his mom down on the 50-yard line on the front row. And as her son Haywood was running onto the field and getting lined up for the national anthem, he turned around and looked at his mom, and she's waving and saluting her son, standing up, saluting him and waving at him, giving him honor. And after he got to, and I can still see this, after he got through, at the end of his testimony, he's just about lost it. And he said, at every Houston Oilers game, when I ran out onto the field, just before the national anthem, I would always look to heaven and give my mom a salute and wave at her. Ladies, if you will allow the Spirit of God to fill you with His Spirit, Proverbs 31 and verse 28 says, your family will rise up and call you blessed. You want to be a blessed woman? Be a Spirit-filled woman. Surrender wholeheartedly to the Lord Jesus Christ today. I want to pray for you. Father, there are men and women out there that have been listening to this message today, and they simply need to follow the example of Elizabeth and Zacharias and just be filled by your Spirit on a regular basis. This isn't something mystical and magical. This is something your Word commands us to do, to be filled by your Spirit, to be under the control through a yieldedness, through a surrender to your will and your way and your Word. I pray for that today, God. Everybody within the sound of my voice. For some, that means being born again, being saved like Elizabeth was. For some, that means taking that sorrow and turning it into supplication, deepening our relationship through prayer and Bible study. And for others, that means just, man, placing our security in the lap of the Lord Jesus. I want to pray for everyone right now that's listening to this online message, this virtual service. Oh God, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts today. Please, get us to the point that someone would say about us what the Scripture said about Elizabeth, that she was righteous, that she was obedient to the commandments, and that her heart was blameless. She was focused on following the Lord God. Help us, Lord, to do that. You pray right now and respond in the way that God would have you to respond, whether it be in salvation or sanctification, just getting a deeper, closer walk with Jesus today on this Mother's Day. What we're talking about is surrendering everything to Jesus. If you'll get that relationship right, everything else will fall into place. We want to hear from you. If you made a response today, if you made a decision for Christ today, please take advantage of that. We want to know about it. You can contact us in a plethora of ways. You can contact us. You can text us on different cell phones and the church number. They're on our website. Mine is 931-332-6288. The church phone is 931-218-3384. You can text us on our Facebook page in the comments section. You can let us know about your decision. You can go to our website if you're more of a private person and email us there. And you can email my email address. Let me know at secondmilechurch@gmail.com. Here's our, you can go to secondmilechurch.com, and that'll get you to our website. Let us know about your decision today. We want to get some stuff in your hands. We want to counsel with you and give praise to God for what He's done today. Please let us know, would you? If you're not ashamed of Jesus, you don't want to go there. Don't be ashamed of Him. Let us know what He's done for you today. And then, Let me encourage you to stay faithful in your giving. Please do that. Many of you are giving online. That's increased tremendously. Some of you are mailing your checks in. I've said this at least a dozen times. The Post Office Box 3512, zip code 37043. You can do that. You can call me. We'll come pick up your check. Which leads me into this. We are going to try an in-person gathering this next Sunday, coming Sunday, May the 17th. And we're going to have all kinds of cleaning supplies here, disinfectants. We've got cleaning team coming in to set up the church and clean all the chairs, the countertops, the tables. We're going to get everything cleansed, and we're going to practice spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. my mind's loaded up. We're going to get all, families are going to sit together, you live together, so you sit together, and then 6 foot of space to the left, to the right, to the front, and the back. So 50% maximum seating capacity is what the guidelines are for this. So we need you to answer an email that Taryn sent out to everybody. If you didn't get the email, text her, call her, call the church number, and let her know, because we need to get an idea about how many of you all are coming. Probably going to have to do two services. So there's that number, 931-218-3384, and she'll put you on her email list if you didn't get that. But please respond to that and let us know if you can come. Some of you can't come. Some of you are in that vulnerable time and you just don't feel comfortable coming. That's okay. We'll continue this online stuff. And just let us know. Bring a mask with you if you've got one. We'll have some available here. We can't make anybody wear a mask, but they're encouraging us to wear the masks for the vulnerable crowd that'll be here. That'll help protect them. And we're going to practice all that social distancing and try to keep people from hurting. This is phase one. We're going to focus on preaching, praying, and singing. Okay, Andrew's not going to have a huge choir up here. He's going to have his praise team with him. And no nursery. Not going to have Sunday school just yet. In 2 or 3 weeks, we'll jump to phase 2 and get back in slowly, but I'm so looking forward to seeing all of you all. So respond to Taryn's email, and we're putting some teams together, communication team, a cleaning team, a setup team. We've got our discipleship team together, and Billy and I are talking and working through that, and and Ellen and Thomas are doing a great job with our media team. Andrew's working with our worship team. So we're going to have a great Sunday, but please respond and let us know. God bless you all. God bless you all. I'll see you on our devotional times this week, our Wednesday night Bible study online again. Thank you for being with us today. Jesus loves you, and so do I. God bless. This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.